Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
I didn't forget my headphones. I wasn't just now sprinting down the hallway. It is Monday. Nothing like realizing 15 seconds before you go to air that you don't have your headphones, which means you can't hear anything. The only thing worse than that is realizing you've become so old and flabby that you're now winded by running approximately 25 feet down the hall, pausing momentarily, and then turning around and running back. Hi there. How are you? All right. It's 3 minutes, 59 seconds after the hour of 9 in this, the month of April, in the year of our Lord, 2005. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day live from the lushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 910 Talk Radio for Guys here in the banks of the feces-filled Willamette River in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here, and we are live right here from Portland, unlike everything else on your radio dial at this particular time. It's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100. See, I can kind of mask it. I'm going to start taking gigantic, great gulps of air, trying to get as many words out on that lung full as possible. It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. It was just during Travis's, during the sports snort thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's a snort. I've never understood that. It puzzles me, confuses me, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's better to put sports up your nose than other things, I suppose.
So he begins the sports snort, and it's that feeling of missing something. Like, you can't quite put your finger on what it is, but you know there's something you're supposed to have, and you can't quite nail down what it is that isn't here.
A handkerchief?
And then that's exactly what he's going. Toast? Tire iron, sauerkraut, and then you realize it's your headphones. And my headphones are stored, and people don't really realize this.
And I'm sure people want to know.
They do. It's fascinating. This is what we call pulling back the curtain, Tim, showing the mechanics of this broadcast, which brings them so much joy every day. But people don't realize that without your headphones, you can't hear anything, because in order to stop the feedback, when you turn on the microphone, all the speakers in the studio go dead, which means that's why you always see. I mean, I think a lot of people.
It's because the potentiometers are raised to the maximum width.
Hey. So I didn't have my headphones, so I got to run down the hallway, and I nearly pounded into Nelson and Terry going around the corner. Because they're. You know, those guys are just. Those are like the two most laid back guys you've ever met in your life. Especially Terry looks like Terry always looks like he ought to be surfing somewhere. He just looks like he's just come from like a taco hut on the beach, you know, in Del Mar. So I plow into those guys, go into my desk, getting my headphones, and here I am. All right. It's 503-535-9100 in Portland today. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100 if you're outside the great city of Portland, Oregon. And if you'd like to email, you can do that as well, my friends. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com as we begin today's program. Speaking to you through the Electrovoice RE20, the finest voice reproduction tool known to man. This is a bold statement that I'm going to make right here, but I do believe that today may in fact be the geekiest broadcast that we've ever done. And we haven't even started it yet, but I'm looking at the list of. And it wasn't really planned that way. Wasn't like I sat down and just decided how to make today a gigantic dork fest. It just, because all the planets sort of lined up. There is just this sort of this confluence of events, things that have aligned to make today just nerdy and dateless in every conceivable way. Gustav, it's like, as soon as you hear that name, it's like that kind of sets the tone for the whole thing right there.
Our good friend Gustav from down the hall, he's going to be in the studio with us later on today because there were some complaints that I did not give him adequate time. When he was here, what, last Monday, last Thursday, something like that? He was here when the missile command guy was here. I guess that would have been Monday. And it was speculated in some corners that he was not given adequate time to defend himself against charges of lifelessness based on the myriad hours he spends in front of a flickering computer monitor pretending to be an orc or an elf or a dwarf. Some damn thing. So he's going to be here later on today. We've also got courtesy of our good friend Aaron Geek in the city. We have the top five geek musical acts of all time. Top five geek musical acts of all time. Got another installment of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. This also is geek-oriented, and I swear to you, I didn't plan any of this. The top five I had planned out days ago. Gustav wanted to come on a Monday. I get this thing in the mail last night. It's the worst song you've ever heard. It's this horrible Harry Potter thing. It's just bad on every level. We'll talk about celebrity pictures, or pics, as the tabloids call them, both great and awful. Now, you can see some of these at rickemerson.com. But I encourage you to wait until you can hear my stunning and wry commentary on said pictures later on. Britney news today. Jackson news today. We're going to be awash in Pope things all week long. I don't know what we... It's April and nothing really rhymes with April. Maypril. Zapril. See, there's nothing... You can't really do it. You can't... Nothing rhymes with Pontiff, Vatican, nothing. So, and I thought, I don't mean to sound callous about such things, but when did the Pope die? Friday night or Saturday?
No, Saturday, because I was having a burrito in the restaurant when it came on the TV. Well, I'm serious. I was at the streets of Tannisbourne having a very good burrito.
Make this historic burrito. Well, whatever. So Saturday they announced that the Pope is dead, although clearly he died weeks ago. And he's just been stuffed like Trigger this whole time, just waiting to announce it. But I had thought, and again, I don't mean to sound callous about the passing of the Pontiff.
No.
Who is
he? He was a man of peace.
Yes.
And brought down the Iron Curtain.
Single-handedly.
Mm-hmm. Along with Ronald Reagan.
It's funny, the number of people who we've been told have single-handedly defeated communism.
If you go to the Reagan Library, it's definitely Reagan.
So, he was a moral beacon. And a spiritual guiding light for all of us in this world.
In Eastern Europe, anyway.
But I had hoped Saturday when the Pope passed, I was not rooting for the Pope's death. I want to be very clear about that. I was not rooting for the passing of Pope John Paul II. God sort of took care of that for me. He's lived a long life. He largely free of prosecution for covering up child molestation allegations. So
that's an American problem, not the Vatican.
I'm sorry. Okay. But I was like, well, it happened on a Saturday. You know what? People will have Saturday, and then they'll have Sunday, the Lord's Day, to mourn him, and then we'll move on. But no, the moving on apparently is going to be postponed for many, many, many days. You thought Reagan filled up your airwaves with stuff you didn't care about? Oh, my friends. You haven't even begun to be bored by television broadcasts or something you couldn't possibly care less about.
It's more folks from the 80s, really.
Oh, God, I know. I mean, really, that's all we got to do is wait for Margaret Thatcher to kick it, and you know, we'll have a hat trick. Not that I'm rooting for that either. That would be wrong. In any event, so we have Jackson news today to distract you from the Pope. We have Britney news, and because of Sarah Dillon, we have today's horrific crime against nature breastfeeding story.
Oh, no.
Good times for everyone, my friends. Good time. We are joined today by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, who was here today. Did you see Sin City over the weekend?
I did.
Yes, and?
I saw it on Friday.
What'd you think?
It was really, really good.
Wasn't it great?
It was kind of gross.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was pretty.
It was violent, but in a very... It's hard.
That yellow bastard guy is the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's hard to explain to people about this, how it can be so violent yet not be violent, because there's no... Because it's so...
And the
stylized.
It's so stylized to where like the comic book makes the blood like white or yellow,
yeah.
And it's just, but it still looks so gory.
It's like watching a photo negative sometimes of a violent scene. But
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, you'll never look at him the same way.
Dude, he is creepy.
Well, Aaron totally nailed it because we saw the advanced screening of that, and it really does a trick on your head, Wendy, especially if you're a geek, because Elijah Wood comes like, oh, it's Frodo. Oh, Mr. Frodo! Oh, God! You know, and then something, and then it goes all wrong.
I didn't. There was a few things I didn't care for. There's a couple things I would have tweaked. But overall, I mean, it's like a 9.5 out of 10. I mean, what is so much better than anything else?
Yeah.
At the box office.
And Bruce, I'm not a big fan of Bruce Willis, and this made me like him a lot.
Well, he's going back to his Pulp Fiction thing, though, where he does 10 years worth of bad movies, and then he does something great to redeem himself. You know what I mean? And it's just, yeah, it's fantastic. Number one at the box office, too.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I would recommend it. I'm probably going to go see it, and Nate's probably going to drag me again.
Good times. Tim Riley working on these stories in the Max 910 newsroom.
Well, lots of Pope stuff, and right now, watching it on TV, the Cardinals are paying their respect to the Pope. Not the baseball team, but the guys who wear the red capes and the white lace skirts. They're walking by.
All right.
Also, seizing the moment in the religious media blitz, Michael Jackson claims God is on his side, and this reporter is traumatized and permanently scarred emotionally by viewing Sin City over the weekend.
Excellent.
Well, okay.
So we've got both ends of the spectrum.
Tim, wasn't some of that just messed up?
You know, for people 40.
Well, you asked me on Friday if it was violent.
No,
that was the most violent movie.
I don't know. You told me it was just like Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. So I'm sitting here
waiting cannibalism.
For Sky Captain to begin, and people are getting their heads lopped off and hung up on walls.
Yeah, but it was stylish.
Yeah, just like Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
Sky Captain in the World of Hell.
Well, you got me into the theater to see it anyway.
Well, sorry about that.
It was only a matinee, $6, and
it's good. Good that you left the house, though.
I had a nightmare about Elijah Wood that night.
See, what did I tell you? When we went to see it on Tuesday, it was myself and Scott Daly, Aaron the Geek, his girlfriend, and their friend Martine. And I know that several people in that group had Sin City dreams.
No,
not even nightmares
glasses.
As such, but yeah, but just, well, the imagery in that film is so powerful.
I mean, you're sitting there eating a Three Musketeers bar with somebody's limbs being torn out.
Yeah, but check that style.
And you know what? The theater, I saw it in the suburbs where people are supposed to be, well, nicer than the mean city, and it was packed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, so much for family, but people want family values. The movie filled with hookers and drugs and cannibalism and killing and maiming and rending and tearing, and a number one movie in the box office, so you can, you know, eat that.
And this hearing after the Pope's demise.
That's right. And the same weekend the Pope dies, there's a movie with Rutger Hauer as a cardinal being beaten to death.
It was my next stop after the burrito.
Okay. Well, all right. So all of that is coming up. Gustav's going to be here. We'll do the top five. We'll do the Jackson Watch. The cherry on the Geek Sunday, by the way. Final slice of the Geek Pie is that today, in fact, now, as of this moment, as of 15 and a half minutes ago, Doom 3 is released for the Xbox gaming system. Today, if you're me, that means the limited edition Doom 3 with the whole extra set of extras, interviews. It's all good times. Anyway. I won't get bogged down. 503-535-9100. We begin everything around the corner, as do we always, with Tim Riley and the Max 910 9 o'clock news. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Hey! What makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? You got to fight to the top so we can know your story. Now you're a man. A man. Now you're a man. A man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
All right, the 9 o'clock news begins around the corner with Tim Riley. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Stay right there. We'll be back after this.
Live it.
It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. Jackson News, Brittany News. Got the We'll talk about the Sin City later on. We've got some cuts from that. Is that girl that plays, what is her name? Pat Morita? What? Not Morita.
The girl that plays Nancy?
Morchiba? No, whoever that assassin is. The girl with the sword.
Yvonne and... Aoki?
Yeah.
Yeah, you. What was her name in the movie?
Who did she play?
Yumi?
No, it's...
Miho.
We're just being white people making stuff up now.
The Asian gal.
Horchata?
She was gross, too, with all the fly things and...
So, we'll talk about all that. Gustav will be here. We'll do the top five geek musical acts. Dennis Glasgow will wrap up the lone injection of manliness in today's program. We'll have the little sports wrap-up and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, please clear the decks for Tim Riley.
It's news that hurts. With Tim Riley, only on Max 910.
Well, an Italian and a Nigerian cardinal are tied as Irish bookmakers' favorites to succeed Pope John Paul II. One of them is a black man, by the way. Who's going to win? We'll find out. More than 5,000 people have placed bets on who will be the next pope with Paddy Power PLC, Ireland's largest bookmaking chain. The only favorites are...
Oh, I thought you were kidding when you said according to Irish bookmakers.
No, I'm serious.
Okay, so the Irish aren't allowed to ever be popes, but they're allowed to place bets on it.
Right.
They can't ever, no Irishman can ever actually become the pope, but they can wager a pint of beer over the outcome.
Correct.
Good times.
Will the church change now that the pope is gone, you inside priests?
I think we have to remember that every pope has to see himself as being loyal to the tradition that he has received. There is continuity from one pontificate to another. At the same time, there are areas where things can change, but no pope does that on his own. Every pope has to take into account what is the mind of the church, what is going on in the church.
The answer is nothing will change.
I have no idea what that means.
Nothing.
The hell was he even talking about that?
The church.
Nothing's going to change. Nothing's ever going to be different. I don't care who they get to be the pope. The church will continue to wane in terms of its influence here in America. Americans especially will continue to disregard the pope and the Catholic Church. All of their catechisms, most of their dogma, most of their teachings. And the Catholic Church will continue to slide into obscurity and irrelevance.
Nancy Reagan says the Pope and Ronnie had a lot in common.
And the Pope, like Ronnie, took many positions, or some positions, that people didn't always agree with, but they knew when he said something, he truly, truly believed it. And he was consistent in his positions, as was Ronnie.
That's Nancy Reagan on the phone.
Is that like the official GOP talking point for everything on planet Earth now? You may not agree with him, but you always know where he stands, which is the thing that we've heard from the right over the last year, especially after the election. That was the thing.
Well,
that
it's common sense, you know. That's what's missing in this world.
The homespun wisdom of the homespun wisdom of the Pope.
People don't listen to the common man anymore. We need more people who are on our side. Yes, like these people.
Yes, the Pope. Yes, the Pope and the cardinals are the commonest of people. What with the solid gold ring that is given to every cardinal when they achieve that rank in the Catholic Church?
Plus, they get the hat and the cape. Mehmet El Agoca, the Turkish gunman who seriously wounded the Pope during a 1981 assassination attempt, is mourning the Pope's death from his Turkish prison cell today.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the media leaves no stone unturned.
Tonight at 7, who could be the next Pope?
This is like a new reality show from Mark Burnett.
Yeah.
What is it? Pope.
Did you say Pope Hope?
Yeah, I was thinking of this as like a reality show. Like, who will be... one man, you know, that whole, who will stay, who will go, who will be the next pontiff? And then it'll show some cardinals, like, slugging it out. Like,
that would totally be called the pontiff.
Like, the pontiff.
That's a great idea. That should be written down and used again.
Well, you know what we should start doing at the end of every day show? We should start calling other radio programs and offering to sell them our leftover wit.
Why should they pay? They take it for free every day.
Seriously.
Listen, in the afternoon show, if there are any live ones left, I think there might be one. What? Uses most of our material over again.
So you just have the pontiff.
Well, I mean, at least you could get Americans interested in Catholicism again, which clearly isn't going to happen.
There's a lot of pageantry involved in this. People in fancy costumes and marching very, very slowly.
It really is true. Well, it's made for like the E Channel or something. You can get Joan and Melissa Rivers out there, get their wrinkled asses out there to talk about the what with the burning of the smoke and the closing of the. People don't really appreciate, I think, sometimes what is so patently obvious if you look at it. I mean, when is the last time anybody here went to a Catholic church service? I've talked recently about how I went to the midnight mass. When's the last time you went to a Catholic church service?
Ooh.
I don't know.
10 years?
Oh, at least.
Yeah. Sarah?
I go every Christmas.
Oh, because you go with your parents, mm-hmm. probably. Yeah, so. But, I mean, it is just so much. I mean, I don't sound all Clyde about it, but, I mean, there's so much stuff that is just bizarre and pagan and weird. And, like, that thing with the Pope, when the Pope died, they closed the bronze door. And then there's that thing where they open the door at the Basilica every 25 years, and he hits it with, like, three times with Maxwell's silver hammer or whatever the hell that is. I mean, people. And this is not stuff that's hidden, or that this is not stuff that like is that you have to go read about in some. But this is like stuff that the Catholic Church does all the time that people just don't really know about.
Well, it's very somber stuff. There's nothing happy about being Catholic.
No, there is being a Catholic. In fact, really belonging to most Christian sects, but especially Catholicism, is all about being dour. It's all about being dour and solemn and sad and depressed and like just down in the mouth constantly. As Eddie Izzard noted, it's like that where they just. You know, you take the Alleluia, which is like the most joyous of all sounds, but when you're Catholic, it's just sort of, you know, Alleluia. And it's just like you're just so sad about it.
But I noticed what was supposed to be a somber point was kind of bizarre this morning because Chris Matthews, who said they're about to bring the Pope out into the crowd. They're carrying the body of the Pope. And he said, okay, let's stand by and see what the crowd's reaction was. The crowd's reaction when they brought the Pope outside was to aim their camera phones at the body and take pictures.
Like a sea of Verizon handsets mm-hmm. pointing at the Pope.
Can you imagine the advertising that they can do it? Well,
can you hear me now?
That's four bars.
Chris Matthews, boy, he's an old school hard boiled Catholic though from the old days.
He didn't say a word during this whole thing.
No, because he's busy. Busy covering himself with sackcloth and ashes or whatever. I mean, I love Chris Matthews, but he's one of those guys that no matter how corrupt and hypocritical the Catholic Church became over the last or was exposed to be, that he just couldn't bring himself to say a bad word against it because he's, I don't know where he grew up, but he's one of those guys from the Catholic Irish family that just, you know, it's got beaten into him literally over the years. It's like this guy, I mean, I don't want to dwell on the hyper-negative aspects of the Catholic Church. There'll be time enough for that the other 364 days of the year, but I...
Not this week, though. This has been in the planning for 2 years.
This, well, clearly this is a day that
they've... They dusted off all these old costumes.
Well, because it's the same ritual for every time a pope dies, it's the same ritual. Because the Catholic Church, whatever one thinks about the Catholic Church, they really have raised ritual and pomp and circumstance to just an absolute art form with this sort of thing.
And that's why Charles and Camilla will not get married on Friday because they're going to steal all the thunder for their pomp and pageantry.
Well, I figured that they would do that, though, because I thought they wanted to get married under the radar. Because everybody's so annoyed about it, and there's so much scandal and so forth. We made some Pope joke. Not even a joke. I made some passing comment about the Pope on Friday.
Which one was it?
I don't know.
Can we read about it somewhere?
One of my many glib witticisms.
No.
I won't mention the guy's name. But a guy emailed me, one of a few people, by the way, to email me, and what has the Pope ever done? You should have more respect, and the blah, blah, blah. The same thing you always hear. And so I just email back and I say, well, you know, sorry, what are you going to do? But I email back this one guy and I said, I just noted correctly, I believe, that if you took the Pope and you swapped out the Pope for the phrase head of Enron, you know, and you listed, if the head of any American corporation had done or engaged in half the things that the Catholic Church had done, the Catholic Church, which is the world's wealthiest, most land-holding organization, it is the wealthiest single organization in the history of recorded man,
by the way. We'll see if that's true 10 years down the line, though.
Probably not the case now. But as of now, the Roman Catholic Church is the largest, wealthiest organization in the history of recorded man. And the Pope is de facto CEO of that corporation. And so the head of any other corporation had done a third of the things that the Pope did during his tenure, we'd want his head on a plate, St. John the Baptist style.
And I just noted that. And I noted that the most obvious and recent example, not the only example, is the fact that the Pope, by dint of using secret tribunals instead of turning them over to the proper authorities, aided, abetted, and perpetuated child molestation for an entire generation. And the guy emails me back, and I won't use the guy's name, but the guy emailed me back, and he's... This is the guy who was all angry that I was making fun of the Pope, right?
Yeah.
And I point out, like, blah, 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 covered up child molestation, blah, blah, blah. And the guy emails me back and he goes, well, I guess you have a point, you know. He says, speaking as someone who was abused by a Catholic priest, I guess you have a point, but you should still lay off the church. And it's like that really right there, that summarizes the entire ongoing life of the Catholic Church. That, like, the Catholic Church can literally, I mean, this guy would still feel some, like, loyalty towards the Catholic Church after that happened. Like, he's still a big fan of the Catholic Church to the extent that he would email me and tell me to be nice to the Pope. That kind of explains it all right there. I mean, it's hard to get that kind of brand loyalty in this country. Meh. Never mind. I'll just move on.
We have all week to talk about this. Let's talk about Britney Spears.
All right. Michelle. Here's your Britney watch for Monday.
Dancing there by the record machine. I knew he must have been about 17. The beat was going strong. Playing my favorite song.
Actually, this is connected to religion also. But not the Catholic religion. Britney Spears.
Do you hear about that Kabbalah string they had to CGI out of the Ashton Kutcher film?
Oh, yeah, that was in here. That was in my stack somewhere. They spent like $100,000.
And that Guess Who movie? Ashton Kutcher, because he's a Nimrod, was wearing... Do you have the story?
Yeah, audiences love Ashton Kutcher as one half of the interracial couple in Guess Who. The flick was a top gross movie, I guess, a couple weekends ago. Now it's... Well, it was...
Now it's been forgotten.
The weekly flavor of the month. Test audiences were really annoyed by the sight of the emblem of the trendy religious movement favored by Kutcher and his sweetheart Demi Moore. So the movie company had the offending bracelet removed by computer magic. They spent $100,000 on digital imaging to remove the Kabbalah bracelet.
So because the audiences were irritated by it. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I'm sorry. So here's your Britney news for today.
Well, it's related. Britney has reportedly hired a Kabbalah rabbi to help save her marriage. The pop babe, who married second husband Kevin Federline last September, has enlisted the help of a spiritual advisor, a swami or something, to give them counseling after the couple spent the last weeks in separate beds.
Like Fred and Wilma.
Mm-hmm. Britney, who is rumored to be pregnant, has also asked for her mom Lynn's advice as she battles to save her stormy marriage, according to Britain's News of the World newspaper.
Why would you battle to keep that guy? I mean, unless there's something about Kevin Federline that I'm not aware of. Why? He doesn't really seem like a man. Like, doesn't really seem like a guy worth fighting for all that much.
Well, a source close to the couple, who is currently staying at an L.A. hotel, told the newspaper, on paper, Britney and Kevin are over. They spend most of their days apart. Last week, it was reported that Kevin spent the evening with a VIP escort at a Vegas nightclub, leading to blazing arguments between the couple. Britney also sparked speculation her marriage could be heading for the rocks after she was pictured without her wedding ring.
Well, clearly that's a couple that spends half their days just in the bag anyway. I mean, like Pam and Tommy, you know, where it's just a... you know, you just get a big pitcher and you just pour the orange juice and vodka right in, you know? And that's how you spend your day. Kevin Federline drinking screwdrivers out of a pitcher and watching pro wrestling on television. There you go. All right, is that the Britney?
That is the Britney.
There's your Britney watch for...
Attention homeowners. This comes to us from Ohio. Homeowners shelled out thousands of dollars for a new house only to find parts of the home soaked in urine by construction workers. Bradley and Maggie thought they had their dream house, but they discovered it was a nightmare. The Parkers had Ryan Holmes build their house, but while they were visiting, they found pools of urine on the floor seeping under the walls.
First of all, every story like this, it says, their dream home, you always know that the phrase blah, 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 nightmare is going to come. Mm-hmm. Secondly, let's all agree that seeping is a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been one positive use of the word seeping in a news story, ever. It's always like, it's always about the pool of urine or some infected gangrenous leg wound. Something that's seeping is bad news.
Well, they said the urine was up by construction workers who didn't want to walk to the nearest portable toilet, which was a quarter mile away.
Yeah, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Now, what else do we have here? Volunteers taking part in what they call the Minuteman Project are to start their regular month-long patrols along Arizona's border with Mexico today.
Oh, God. Is this militia idiots?
Yep. The volunteers are on the lookout for legal immigrants and smugglers. The volunteers are focusing on a 23-mile stretch of the border, and say about 200 people will be in place today. The participants were on the ground yesterday, familiarizing themselves with the land. Authorities said that time, they helped federal agents make 18 arrests. Law enforcement officials say the volunteers were keeping the peace despite concerns they might become confrontational with the illegal aliens.
Good times. Was it in Montana where those Freeman guys were? You know what I'm talking about? These guys were all...
I would imagine they were in Montana.
A bunch of robe-wearing nitwits or in a trailer somewhere in Montana. Stories. There's a bunch of guys... I talked to my friend Todd occasionally. We always come back to this issue about people like this that get in the news and then they vanish and you never hear from them again. Which is what these gun-clutching morons in Arizona remind me of.
Yes.
Because the Freemen were this group of morons that had a government standoff in the... I think it was Montana. They vanished, never heard of them again. I never heard it. Remember the was it the Michigan militia or the Montana militia?
Michigan militia.
The Michigan militia. Yeah. Whatever happened to those guys?
They're still in Michigan doing something.
Are they still around? Are they in jail?
I would imagine they're saying maybe they changed their name.
It's like they had their 12 minutes of fame on like some installment of the G. Gordon Liddy show, like in 1996. Ditto with all the other Branch Davidians. Where the hell did the other Branch Davidians go? Because they didn't all get burned. There was a whole bunch of them that were out somewhere and they just all vanished.
Look into this after this Pope business is over.
I don't really care.
Listen to this. It's a distant memory for most of the country, but President Bush's campaign swung through Southern Oregon, and they didn't pay the bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. This should be a Bush watch.
Should it?
You want to roll? This is my fault. I forgot the label.
Oh, yeah,
there you go. Thank you. That's my fault. Then. In charge, he's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush. So the administration incurs $19,000 in expenses. From last fall, three hotels, including the Rogue Regency, the Red Lion, and Jacksonville Inn, reported they've been waiting almost 6 months for bills generated mostly by the U.S. Secret Service during the president's whirlwind tour through Jackson County. Let's see, they owe $3,332 to the Red Lion Inn in Medford, which they sent a letter to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. A White House representative said the hotel should direct their inquiries to the Secret Service rather than the president. You know, the bill collection people can't even get the people in my neighborhood to pay their bills, much less somebody in the White House who has armed guards outside his house.
Then the Rogue Regency has been waiting for a payment of $15,000 owed by both the president and Senator John Edwards' campaigns, the bulk of which was incurred during the Bush entourage. President Bush stayed at the Jacksonville Inn, and its owner Jerry Evans said most of the bills have been paid except $600 owed by the Office of Administration, which he thinks means the White House. It's nothing I'm concerned about, said the manager. I'm going to get paid. At the Red Lion, Stephen said a member of the Secret Service asked last week for a $400 refund on the bill because he believed his agents hadn't used a particular briefing room. She says she pointed out that a refund was impossible because the rest of the bill has not yet been paid.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. There's your Bush watch. Take a break. We're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-535-9100. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Monday. Don't forget, so we are now, 14 days? 12? I'm just making up the number of days. How many days until
the
listener party?
It's the 15th.
No, today's the 4th.
I thought it was the 14th.
Oh, my God, so 11 days.
Does that make it 11?
Yes.
Do you count the last day?
I don't know. Maybe.
Whatever, it's next Friday.
It's on Friday.
Next Friday, so 11 days.
Not next... The Friday after next.
Yeah, next Friday, not this coming Friday.
The next one after the next Friday.
Yeah, but... Whatever. It's Friday the 15th. Friday the 15th coming up at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. Listener Party 8, here is the money that I owe you. That's coming up Friday at 8 p.m., April 15th, the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. By the way, now, so I got to note a couple things about that. A,
Of course, we're having our dead celebrity costume contest that night. That's in the first hour, though. That is happening in the first hour of Listener Party 8. Then we've got some other things throughout the evening. Then at 10 o'clock, a special one-hour live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be there. We're live. We'll be doing our thing. We'll be broadcasting from the Viper Room on this very fine radio station that night. So a special one-hour nighttime broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show at 10 o'clock at the end of Listener Party 8, which is coming up next Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m. We'll have more details on that here. We'll talk about the logo contest here in just a minute as well. Here's Tim Riley.
I don't know what this means, but it says here, President Bush says he looks forward to the majesty of celebrating the life of Pope John Paul.
I don't understand what that means either.
Forward to celebrating the majesty of celebrate. I don't probably expect some, you know, Texas banjo picking hoedowns.
I look forward to the majesty of the celebration of the. Is that
Do those words come out of his mouth, or is that Karl Rove?
I don't know. Is that just code for MSNBC preempting everything I want to see all week? That's yep. got to be what it is.
Yep.
I mean, it's
the Vatican's been working on this for 2 years.
Well, I mean,
and they're walking slowly.
Well, I mean, and you thought the Ronald Reagan thing took a long time. You thought it took a long time to get Reagan, and you know, in the whatever the state lying in state, and then buried and so forth. And man, you ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, it's because as you said, it's like the Catholic Church fails at almost everything they do except for pageantry. As George Carlin once noted, that the only good thing to come out of the Catholic Church was the music. And I would say that
the uniforms are pretty cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say they got a snappy fashion sense too, in a weird sort of gaudy kind of way. But man, it's like it's gonna be an all day sucker with that guy. It's gonna be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they bury him on Friday. So anything you wanted to watch on any of the news channels, you're not gonna be watching because it's gonna be a Pope-a-thon, which annoys me because I wasn't able to watch any Michael Jackson coverage last week because it was all Terry Schiavo. So Terry Schiavo gets in the way of all my Jackson coverage. Then the Pope gets in the way of all my Jackson coverage. Somebody else will probably, if Falwell will probably die after that. So it's just, if it's not one death, it's another. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here is your Jackson Watch for Monday.
Is vast and almost endless today. I got three pages here. Now, if Michael Jackson ever left the country, he could live out the days on a tropical island paradise, thanks to his friend Marlon Brando. How could that be possible?
Well, because Brando had that Tahitian or Fijian island or something.
Well, a notarized deed obtained by the Daily News of New York shows that on June 5th, 2003, Brando granted Jackson sanctuary on one of the Pacific Islands he owned for, quote, the rest of Jackson's natural life,
which
unquote.
Is not subject to U.S. laws because it's right. An island owned outright by Brando's estate.
Now, according to the deed, Brando transferred use of a half acre on the island of Wanataki in the French Polynesian atoll of Te Rauke in consideration of gratitude and affection.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is the same island, by the way, where it was reported that Marlon Brando kept stool specimens from everyone who visited him. That if you went to visit, I'm not making this up, by the way, and this was corroborated by Joe Esterhaas when he wrote Hollywood Animal. He noted this, that if you went to see Marlon Brando, there was this agreement. If you went to visit him on the island, you had to leave him a stool sample, which he then labeled and kept in a jar. And he had a whole variety of those from different folks who'd come to spend time with him.
Imagine that.
I'd rather not.
That could end up in an OMSI exhibit.
Serious. The grossology Brando style.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things where it's like if Jackson went there, he could just live Dr. Moreau style because it's like a land without law.
Well, the deed raises the question of whether Brando, who died last July, may have intended the island as a possible refuge for the embattled star. In 1976, Brando arranged for American Indian Movement leader Dennis Banks to fly by private plane to the island after he was indicted for assault and inciting a riot. He also spirited his daughter Cheyenne to Tahiti after she witnessed his son Christian shoot her lover Dag Trollett back in 1990. Jackson's spokeswoman Ramon Bain insisted the singer wants to clear his name and has absolutely no plans to flee the country.
Whatever you say.
A series of witnesses who claim Michael Jackson is a pedophile are due to be called by the prosecution at his child abuse trial. Of course, the singer who denies all the allegations faces more than 20 years in prison if convicted. The jury will hear testimony which will focus on five boys who prosecutors claim Jackson either abused or groomed for molestation.
Groomed, that's the phrase of this whole thing that I don't... Well, that's one of the... let's be honest, there's many phrases in this that I don't like to hear, such as licking the head of a small boy and so forth and... this is the thing that prosecution keeps going to, is that he was grooming small boys. And here's why I don't like that. Because when I hear about grooming small boys, it makes me think of a wet and shirtless Macaulay Culkin having his hair lovingly brushed by Michael Jackson in front of a mirror clouded with steam in the bathroom. That's what I think of. Now you will, too.
Well, these do include Macaulay Culkin and two others, who the singer paid about $25 million in total during out-of-court settlement back in the 90s. One more? Of course.
Why not?
Michael Jackson's fans began rallying to his defense this morning as prosecutors prepared to introduce evidence of alleged past improper behavior to young boys. About 100 supporters gathered in front of the Santa Maria courthouse for a candlelight vigil in the morning.
A candle? These are paid supporters.
But this is a candlelight vigil in the morning. Who's going to see a candle?
They're idiots. What do you want?
The group wore white to symbolize innocence and gold armbands similar to the ones that Jackson wears.
Here's the thing. We've heard for a while that some of the people that were holding signs, like the Don't Squeeze the Juice-esque signs, we heard that those people were paid supporters. They were paid $100 a day to stand out there. If some of these other people, I'm not so sure. Doesn't it seem to you like Michael Jackson has, even more so than most celebrities, he had some weird religious cult-esque thing going on with his... And his fans... And I'm not just talking about a casual Michael Jackson fan like your Bill Kims or whatever. I'm talking about these people that are there that would nail themselves to crosses for this guy. And they all are the same. They're all these weird kind of chunky ponytailed women, and then hairless Asians. And I don't know what that's all about, man. But he's
like right out of Central Casting.
Exactly. Like he does. He has all the makings of like a brand new... I mean, he's got that island. He might as well just take a bunch of people down there and start a people's temple. Yeah, right. I mean, that clearly is the direction he's sort of heading with these people who are into him. That's your Jackson watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Something else will scare you, because that's one of our roles being here in the media. Research by a University of Oregon professor has found that global warming could lead to monsoons in the Pacific Northwest. That's what happened during global warming 55 million years ago. How do they know this?
This is made up. Yeah, I'm not saying that global warming isn't happening. It probably is. I mean, I sort of assume that humans wreck everything they touch anyway. So I just what are you gonna do? It wouldn't surprise me. But this idea when they say that the temperatures are the highest they've been in 340, there's no way to know. And thermometers didn't exist until I read something the other day about the first accurate thermometer. Because I'm a loser, I sat and read this entire article about the development of the Fahrenheit scale versus the Celsius scale and the blah, blah, blah.
That's fascinating. Please explain more.
I'm picking up on your sarcasm. All I'm saying is that they have no... This is made-up science is what this is.
Well, here's more about this. This is water cooler talk. The event was triggered by a sudden and catastrophic release of methane stored in permafrost and ice beneath the seabed. Sure. Average temperatures shot up 6 degrees and seasonal rainfall rose by an estimated 50% in North and Central America. Somebody actually got paid to do all this. University of Oregon geology professor Greg Radilek analyzed soils laid down during the ancient greenhouse effect.
This has got to be a fascinating job. I bet you get all the babes with this job. Mm-hmm.
The climate change, and you got a better idea how the current warming could alter weather. Attention, lazy Americans.
Thank you.
Agile TV presents impromptu voice-controlled television. Now, this is a voice-controlled TV remote. It's designed to replace the conventional remote control and includes a talk button and built-in microphone.
How lazy could you possibly be that you have to have a voice-activated remote? How flabby could your arms possibly be that you can't pick up the remote control anymore to turn over to the Food Network? You gotta shout from your, home improvement, from your Barca lounger or whatever.
It used to be a vision of the future, but it's almost here today. While not dismissing its potential application for ensuring accessibility, the prompt to approach still requires a remote control, and the user needs to hold down the talk button to give demands. So there is some work involved here.
You have to press a button.
Right,
anyway.
There is a little work involved here.
It's like that. The feature on the cell phone, which I didn't even realize I had. Sarah and I were looking at my cell phone a while back, and it was like many the people who have started to become old. Their button. I own products that have buttons, and I don't know what the buttons do. And that's typically a thing that happens to you, I think, once you hit like 25 or 30 years of age. Because when you're younger, especially if you grew up in sort of in the computer era, there are no mysterious buttons on any of your products. You understand everything. You figure out every aspect of it. You figure out every feature, every option. You figure out every purpose that it has. My cell phone, though, has these two buttons on the side. One is a long silver bar, and one is a short silver button. And the long silver bar, I figured, you press it once and it turns off the ring. You press it twice and it sends people directly to voicemail. Isn't that the thing? On that phone? Because we have to say, because Sarah and I have matching phones because we're lame.
You have a cool poodle screensaver, though.
Yes, I do, because I don't know how to change it. That's the other thing. That's the other way.
There's a poodle on your telephone.
I didn't put it there. That's the other way that you can, which is a lot of fun, by the way, when people want to borrow my phone because I have to dial the number for them so they don't see the screensaver. Like, I was in the car this weekend, and God, Joni and I were in the driving this weekend, which is a whole, just a whole comedy of errors in itself that we'll talk about later. But she's like, can I use your phone? I'm like, yeah, hold on. And then I thought better. I'm like, what's the number? Because I don't want to, because you open up my phone, and it just, not only is there a picture of my dog right there, but it actually says, because I guess you can program the phone so that when you open it, it says, like, property of Sarah, you know, or, like, it has your own phone number or something on it, or it says, like, company use only. Mine, actually, you open my cell phone, and there's a picture of my poodle, and it says in big letters at the top, I have a poodle, which is, I'm unable to change. I don't know how to alter it in any way. So I'm obliged to do all the dialing whenever anybody asks to use my cell phone. But there's a button on the side that you press twice, and it sends people right to voicemail, which is a button I would never use. Because you can tell, can't you? If you're calling somebody, and they press that button twice, and they send you right to voicemail, isn't that a thing you can tell? Because the phone will just stop ringing, right? Like, if I'm calling somebody, and I dial the number, and then I hear the, you know, or whatever, and it rings. But if it only rings, if it only gives me like half a ring, and then I hear the, hello, you've reached the voicemail of whatever, that's how I know that they've, it's like the FU button. It's like where they've just hit the flush button, and they just push me right to the voicemail, and therefore they're on my enemies list. So that's the thing I never press. But there's a silver button underneath it, and for the longest time, I couldn't puzzle out the meaning of it. Although, in my defense, Sarah didn't know what it did either. And we realized that if you press the button, it's for voice dialing. And so you open the phone, you press the small silver button, and then you say, like, you know, Tim, and then it calls, which seems like just a bad accident waiting to happen. That seems like some kooky Jennifer Aniston-esque misadventure just waiting to take place right there. Well, you're going to be, you know, you'll be shacked up in some hotel room with somebody you're not supposed to be, and then you're going to sit on the phone incorrectly, and then it's going to dial 911 or something, and it's going to be a whole lot of misunderstandings and explaining to do. So that's a function I'm never going to use on my cell phone. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's see what's on the TV tonight. First, we have Behind the Camera, the unauthorized story of Mark and Mindy.
Don't miss that.
It's 2 hours.
Two hours. And they've been pimping it for like a week and a half, as though that's going to make any difference. As though that's going to work at all. No one is going to watch it. By the way, you're listening to KFGK Vancouver, Portland, KSLM, Salem, and Intercom Station.
And then we have a brand new show, Who Gets the Dog? Three families compete for a spunky one-year-old poodle. Then X-Men.
Spunky.
Poodles are spunky.
They are indeed.
You do have one that's spunky.
Unless you got mine, in which case they're just hapless and they're always falling over and running into things.
X-Men is on tonight on FX. Then Painful Secrets. Filled with suppressed rage and self-loathing, a teenager cuts herself when she fails to please others. Guess what channel?
Lifetime. Of course. Correct. Well, of course. Anytime it's a vomiter, like a puker or a cutter, is always going to be on Lifetime. Here's what's going to be on Lifetime. A puker, a cutter, a raper. A burner, like if you the abusive husband, set him on fire, Farrah Fawcett style, that's on Lifetime. Or a fleer.
Or a beater.
A beater or a fleer. So like if you're hiding in a small town in Georgia because your husband used to blacken your eyes or something and you're living under an assumed name, that's a Lifetime movie right there. A cutter. Have you seen those websites? The websites where it's all like support groups for... But it's not even like a support group so much as it is like, it's like advice pages for those for girls who are cutters, like on how to do it like more effectively and avoid detection. You know, it's like the best cutting tools, and here's the knife I use to cut myself when I'm sitting in biology class. It's that the internet really brings out just the weirdest things in people. Like somebody sent me a link the other day, and I thought it was a joke at first. I had to sort of go through it, but it was an anorexia support page. It was like tips on becoming a better and more effective anorexic. It was hilarious.
Here's Tim Riley.
Also on tonight is the face-eating tumor. That's
I'm
on.
I'm sorry?
It's called the face-eating tumor.
And what channel is that on?
That is on TLC. At 8 o'clock.
Tender Loving Care Channel?
Yeah.
Ew.
Face-eating tumor. Remember when they used
the Tumor Lovers Channel?
I guess in the days of cable television and TiVo, there's no time to be circumspect or vague about your program. Like, you should have one. Boobs and Blood. Speaking of which, so let's talk a little bit about Sin City.
We're going to get to that.
We'll do these e-cuts here, but you...
They're not in that order.
So you went to see Sin City this weekend.
I did.
Now, did you see it on Saturday?
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I...
At 4 o'clock.
You had asked on Friday, you had said, now, is this a violent film? And I...
And you said, not in a manner of speaking. It's kind of like Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's just cruel, Rick.
I didn't think... No, like in the grand scheme of things, it's not that violent of a film.
It is disgusting.
It's cartoonishly violent.
Let me tell you something. People got dismembered. They got the innards torn out. That didn't gross people out.
Like decapitated.
What grossed people out was when they saw somebody vomit.
When was the vomit? Oh, when Benicio del Toro vomits.
The only time the crowd in the theater I was in.
I was grossed out by that because that's one of those moments, because the film's in black and white, That's one of those moments where it was in color for a second.
Oh,
like
no,
a splash of yellow. It was a violent film, but I mean...
It was.
But cartoons are violent, and this was very much comic books are violent. This is very much like that. This isn't like...
No, that looked too real.
I mean, Bluto never did that to Popeye. That's a comic book violent.
Elijah Wood on the tree? No way. That was messed up.
Oh, well, that was certainly violent. No, that's a fair point. That was the dog.
Or the girl with the hand and the fingers. And
yeah, but you didn't see that. They didn't show it.
Oh, I covered my eyes during that point. I don't know if they showed it.
I covered my eyes more than any movie I ever saw.
But they didn't. Yeah, they didn't. They certainly didn't show that.
That was
and all the blood. And the blood wasn't red.
No, it was yellow.
The blood was
in all.
The blood was also like it was white or it was red or it was like a day-glow thing or something. But it wasn't.
Yeah, but the beating was pretty substantial. And like when someone got shot, they didn't just get shot a couple times. They were like machine gunned in the chest.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess maybe the phrase very violent means something different to me than it does. I guess I've spent
Kennewick style violence.
Perhaps I've spent too much time on the internet looking at pictures of people being hit by trains.
Yeah.
Maybe
For those of us who live in civilized society, this was a bit much.
I think maybe watching reality television and Rotten.com have. I think I have perhaps had the fabled desensitization set in my brain. Because it still doesn't really seem all that bad to me, but I will accept your claim that it is. I will, from here on, so you maybe want to take my recommendations about violent films with a grain of salt.
Yes.
Apparently my sensibilities are not those of the average American. Sorry about that. To be fair, I
have to go into therapy after this.
I did not intentionally send you to a film that I thought would scar you in some fashion.
Tim, what did you think of that yellow bastard guy?
Oh, that whole thing.
He just unnerved me.
Yeah, and he looked like a Ferengi. I kept thinking he looked like a Ferengi. He looked like Quark. That was the weirdest thing for me. I couldn't get past that.
But the thing was, once you get used to the violence, you suddenly realize... There's a story that goes with this movie somewhere.
But how great was the story? And it was a fantastic...
The story was very cool. Yeah.
The film was beautiful looking, as I think Aaron called it, the ugliest pretty film he'd ever seen, or the prettiest ugly film, one of the two, where it was very grimy but very beautiful.
Well, it's really weird because you're used to rooting for a character, and all of them are like part bad and part good, and it's really weird to get a handle on it.
It's a world of moral ambiguity, the world of Sin City. That's why I thought Tim would like it, because it is very noir-esque in that fashion.
I did like that part.
It's a lot of anti-heroes, like Bruce Willis. Like, how great was Bruce Willis?
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was fantastic.
That was the part he was made for.
Yeah, I mean, there really is like a... That's the role of a lifetime right
there. I even found him attractive in that movie, and I never do.
Well, because he's rugged, and he's masculine, but he's sensitive, and he's looking out for the girl, and the everything. I mean, it's, you know, so I... I mean, and Jessica Alba, who is very beautiful, of course, but I didn't expect her to be able to act because she was a terrible actress in Dark Angel, and most people won't admit that, but she was awful. But she was really good. I thought she did like that kind of wounded vulnerability very well. It was just a fantastic film. And then creepy, goddamn Elijah Wood with his white glasses. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he said anything. He didn't even speak.
No.
No, he did. That was the worst part.
Not even at the end. Not even when he met his resolution.
Oh. What was his name? Henry?
No.
I think it was Henry.
Was it?
Yeah.
Something. Yeah, that was...
Oh, or the part where they show him rocking on the porch reading the Bible?
Yeah.
Like, just those little still shots of him. Even those were creepy.
Yeah, good times.
Why not bring the kids?
Won't you make it a family affair, please? So, all right. We'll do some E-cuts from Sin City here in a minute.
Just a moment. First, we have to talk about another wonderful movie I saw. Called Sahara.
Now, I have not seen Sahara, but this movie that you saw for free on Scott... You saw this on Scott's dime,
but
right?
Scott wasn't even there for it.
He didn't even show up.
I think it was the night of his toothache.
So this is where... So how far did you have to drive out of your way to see Sahara?
Well, not far. I went to Tiger.
Okay.
Which is like an hour from my house.
Okay.
So Matthew McConaughey stars in this new flick, Sahara. In the picture, he plays an explorer named Dirk, who saves a beautiful UN scientist, Penelope Cruz, searching for the cause of a mysterious disease, which is the stupidest plot I've ever heard.
Really? And you can tell it's dumb from the description, right? First of all, his name is Dirk. Now, no character named Dirk is ever supposed... They're all parodies. I mean, see Dirk Diggler, you know, in Boogie Nights. But anytime there's a character named Dirk, it's like having a character named you know, like Ramrod or something. It's like you could tell right there that you're dealing with some movie that has no grounding in reality, which is fine if it's done in some sort of over-the-top, deliberately campy fashion. And Penelope Cruz plays what, a scientist?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's...
And the funny thing is, there's one scene where she's down the bottom of a well.
Right.
So they show these guys standing around the well, trying to torture this guy to tell them where she's hiding. Now, there's nothing else in here but a well.
Let's not look in the well, though.
Right.
Let's never look over there. Well, it's like, did you...
And I don't want to spoil the movie.
Well, it's a terrible film.
It really is.
I mean, it's like that National Treasure film with Nicolas Cage, which, to be fair, I have not seen. But, man, I know some people that have seen that film, and just the reviews... I mean, the reviews have been so unbelievably universally negative on that film. I mean, it was number one for like a month, so they must be doing something right. But And I know that in movies like this, we're dealing with archetypes and we're dealing with certain stock characters. But, man, you know, if I have to see one more film where there's some hot, you know, luscious babe of a girl who also happens to be like a nuclear physicist, you know, it's just stop. Just stop it.
And she does things she shouldn't be doing in the first place, like wandering into countries where there's a revolution going on.
Seriously.
So,
all right. So this is Sahara.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey talks about what he did to get in shape for his role.
I did weights here in town, and then I headed out to Mali. I went to Africa and hiked on my own for a month. Now you're gonna hike and walk 10 miles a day, and eat what you can get your hands on. It's a pretty good way to get not just your body in shape, but your head and your soul in shape too, because you're out there just, well, you're Mali, going from village to village. So that was a lot of hiking. Also, you build a muscle when you're climbing mountains, which we were doing. And then you show up, and we had a great trainer, Eddie Chow, did a lot of boxing. A lot of boxing. And with all that stuff I was doing, I just had to make sure I was eating enough. It was fun. I felt great inside and out on this.
He sounds like a really fascinating individual that I could have hours and hours of conversation with over dinner. You know, here's what Matthew McConaughey did to prepare for this role. He was born with a fantastic set of chromosomes. That's it. That's the extent of Matthew McConaughey's preparation. See, also Ben Affleck. You know, what were you doing? Well, I was... And Tom Cruise. I was born with this blindingly wide smile. Movie prep done.
Matthew said it's easier to get by when you have no expectations. I don't know what you mean.
Especially as a film goer.
Yeah, I was just talking about it. You know you don't have electricity. You know you don't have a phone. You know you don't have a television. You know you don't have your car. You know you don't have all these things. So you never, without expecting, since you don't have them, you don't expect them to work. What happens is when you get to Morocco and you're staying in, say, the Zaluka Mud Hotel, but they say they have internet service and cable, your anticipation gets up. So when that doesn't work is when it gets really exhausting, because you anticipate it to work.
What was the original question?
I don't remember what I asked him. Apparently he's not able to check his AOL account, and so therefore Matthew McConaughey's life is terrible.
So make sure you don't see this movie. It's called Sahara.
Was it even worth seeing for free?
Nothing's bad for free.
Okay. Rick, I read a review for Sin City that said kids should not be allowed inside buildings near theaters that are showing this movie, which is just about right. You know, I haven't posted it yet, but somebody sent me a link to a couple of there's those film sites where they review movies. It's like Christians reviewing movies for other joyless Christians.
No. You can just imagine.
And it's a place called Capalert, and they do Christian film reviews. And the last time I went there was when the South Park movie came out, and they referred to it as something like being a movie straight. This movie is straight from the fiery depths of hell itself, or something like that. And it's like they rank the films on a godliness scale of 0 to 100, and of course Sin City got a 0, got a flat out absolute complete 0. So the great thing about Sin City, and we're not spoiling anything for people here. We're trying not to give any spoilers.
There's plenty of violence to go around without mentioning more.
The great thing about it is, you know, that opening sequence on the building, on the rooftop with the girl in the red dress, that, unless I am remembering the story incorrectly, that opening sequence with the guy and the girl on the rooftop and her in the red dress, that is what Robert Rodriguez sent to Frank Miller as like an audition to direct the film. Because Frank Miller, who, lest we forget, also did RoboCop 3, so he's certainly not flawless. He'd had such a bad experience in Hollywood, he's like, I don't want to have anybody screw with my work. And so Robert Rodriguez made that opening five-minute segment and then sent it to him and said, if you like this, you know, maybe we could talk about me doing the film. If not, you'll still have this thing to show your friends. And so that was, so I thought it was really great that they put that in the film itself, because that was what Rodriguez made as like an audition, which is kind of like the Sky Captain guy who, that sequence, see, the Sky Captain.
Oh, I see how this is similar. The opening shot resembles Sky Captain. I see. Okay, I understand.
The Sky Captain guy, that sequence of the robots going through New York and destroying New York, mm-hmm. He made that at home on his Mac, and he then showed it to, it's like an eight-minute sequence. He made it at home on his Macintosh, and he showed it to the studio. And he said, I'd like to make this into, he was just some dude, like, didn't have any connections, didn't know anybody. And he's like, I'd like to make this into a film. And they said, well, all right. So the Macintosh triumphs again. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, so speaking of this movie, Sin City, model/actress Devon Aoki plays an assassin named Mio. The film is based on the works of comic author Frank Miller. Aoki can also be seen in the campy flick Debs. I spoke with her and asked her to talk about her character.
I play Miho. She's the assassin. She basically protects the girls of Old Town, which is sort of presided by, like, Rosario Dawson, sort of like, would be the so-called mayor, and I guess I would be sort of like the keeper, you know.
All right.
Okay.
Please share your thoughts on this film.
It's amazing. It was the most incredible experience, because they really held true to the material, to the graphic novel. And when you see the movie, you'll see that it doesn't stray at all from you know, the true work by Frank. And he also helped direct it. Actually, Robert and Frank sort of did it together. And it's very gritty. They did it in black and white. And it's just, it's wildly beautiful. And it's, you know, it was a lot of fun to be a part of that project, especially with the actors and that they had, and the rest of the, obviously, the people working on it. So it was great.
Yvonne, I bet you like the creativity you get from acting.
Well, I think acting definitely more of a commitment, because it's, you know, you're working on these projects for months at a time. Modeling is a lot of fun, but I think you get to be a lot more creative when you're acting. It's sort of your own vision to a certain extent as well, when you're portraying a character. And with fashion, you know, it's missing that sort of depth. It's surface value stuff, really.
So what are these? Are people calling to yell at me about Sin City?
Yeah, they're calling to say that it's not Henry, it's Kevin.
Kevin, that's right, Kevin.
Yeah, and also that you were going on Friday about how most of the violence is in silhouette form.
Well, a lot of it. I mean, is it like some of the most, like, and I won't give it anything away, but that sequence
with the dog,
that sequence with the tree and the dog is in, it's not like a silhouette, but it is like a photo negative. It's like they reverse it.
It's like a Saturday morning cartoon.
It's like,
sponsored by Frosted Flakes.
It's no more violent than your average Powerpuff Girls episode. I would encourage you to take small, young, impressionable children to see it.
Absolutely.
Take them to see it repeatedly.
It'll be released on Nickelodeon next year about this time, won't it?
Won't you please? We'll read a couple emails here, then we'll do one more, then we'll break. We got some other stuff coming up. Rick, don't forget that each new pope has to sit in a... Now, let's see. Rick, don't forget that each new pope has to sit in a chair that allows for a bishop to check under the hood, as it were. Yes, the papal sorting hat. Slytherin! Upon view, the holy... I shouldn't even read this.
No, go ahead.
I should just move on.
It's in bad taste.
Rick, what about the brand-new Fox reality show, My Big Fat Obnoxious Pope? God, do you remember that movie with... What was his name? Robbie... It's the guy that plays Hagrid. Robbie Coltrane, is that his name? Did that movie, The Pope Must Die?
I don't remember that.
Remember that movie, The Pope Must Die?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Are you sure it's not Romeo Must Die?
No. I'm really sure that it's not Romeo Must Die. There was a movie that came out in like 91, and it was a zany comedy starring Robbie Coltrane, who I believe is the guy that plays Hagrid in the Harry Potter films. And it was, I swear to you, it was like a kooky Hollywood comedy called The Pope Must Die. And it was where it was like King Ralph with John Goodman, where through an unexpected and zany chain of events. This cigar chomping like bowling guy becomes the Pope and angers the Catholic Church because he's like a kooky rock and roll pontiff. And so then the Catholic Church spends the rest of the movie trying to get him killed. And so the movie was called The Pope Must Die. And there was this huge uproar about releasing a movie called The Pope Must Die. And so they did this thing where they at the last minute on all the marketing materials, and this is, you go to the video store and you'll still see it like this. At the last minute, they altered the movie to say, go to the video store and look up The Pope Must Die with Robbie Coltrane, and it'll say The Pope Must Die, and then at the very end of it, they've altered it with like a little crucifix, so it says The Pope Must Diet. Diet. It's like literally a change they made 3 days before it went into the theaters. So, anyway. Rick, how about a show called The Popeful Hopeful? See, there you go. That's thinking.
That's clever.
I would completely watch that. We got some listener parties, and we'll talk about that more in a second. Here's Tim Riley.
Here's a little story from Florida. All you people going on vacation, listen up. Experts say thousands of sharks spotted earlier this week off the South Florida beaches could appear in Central Florida by this weekend. Currents in the Atlantic could send the sharks cruising along the coast of Brevard and Volusia counties. The Central Florida surf is murky enough to hide many of these sharks where the tourists can't see them.
Excellent. Rick, what about that logo on your way? Oh, yeah, this is worth noting. Now, we did get the first logo submission for Rick Emerson Listener Party A, which is coming up next Friday at the Viper Room, 8 p.m. On 7th and Hawthorne. Now, here's the thing. Now, it is Listener Party 8. Here is the money that I owe you. As we always are now, we are turning it over to y'all to come up with the Listener Party logo. Now, the very first submission, we just started taking them on Friday, and it's the very first submission is up right now. And it looks like Abbey Road in the background, although I can't be entirely sure about that.
I don't understand.
I don't know. I'm looking at it right now, and it's...
Wow, and those are really old pictures of us all.
They're completely old. It's Tim in a Hawaiian shirt.
That must be old.
Sarah in some outfit. And I don't know what that's from. That's got to be from...
That's from Billy Reed's. That's from...
Oh, it must be, because that's where that picture of me is from.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it's myself holding a guitar, and then it's Tim with a Hawaiian shirt and a camera strap around his neck, and Sarah, and then we're all standing on Abbey Road. And I'm air guitaring, and there's a little word balloon.
Oh, that's
balloon.
Even the low entertained.
It is. That's exactly... It was last... Not last June, but
yeah, did you see the ghostly apparition?
Summer, I remember it was really hot out there.
The Beatles behind you?
Ghosts of the Beatles in the background. That's pretty cool.
Right? Do you think maybe that was the Beatles?
Dead, oh, because they're dead celebrities.
Oh.
There you go.
Mm. We're quick.
This is from a guy named Alan who sent this to me. So this is the very first submission. So if we select your logo, you'll get a bunch of stuff from the Max 910 Crap Stack. You'll also get passes. You'll get admission to the invitation-only pre-party, which happens, of course, earlier than out of the Listener Party. That happens earlier in the night of the 15th. So you will get admission to the pre-party, which is a very... I mean, we say it's exclusive. There's only going to be, I think, 30 people total at this thing. So the pre-party is limited to, I think, 30 folks. You'll get a pair of passes to the pre-party, and you'll get some stuff, the Max 910 Craft Stack, if we pick your logo. So send your logo, and you'll get to see it on some swag. So send your logo to Rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. All right, so...
Do it today.
Do it today, won't you, please? We have anything else here? Do I have anything... No, I got all this other crap, but there's just this thing about Oregon taking first place in a cheese contest.
Oh, yeah, that's a big story.
Apparently. Willamette Valley Cheese Company's Italian-style Fontina was named best of class. Well, I'm putting myself to sleep. I'm only a sentence into this, and I don't care. All right, well, apparently we won something. Apparently our cheese companies won something. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Here's what we've got coming up. Top five geek musical acts of all time. Dennis Glasgow's going to be here with the sports wrap-up. What else? Gustav is going to be here. Talk about video game addiction next hour with Gustav from 94.7. We've got another episode of the Xbox Files. It's the worst song you've ever heard and all that. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Max 910. Don't go anywhere.